Perk Tes Zayin Vayomer Shemol Shmuel Ad Masai Tumis Abel Shol. How long will you mourn after Shol Amalek Ani Ma'asim Mimlocha Yisrael? I have despised him from being king over Bnei Yisrael. Malik Hanach Hashem and fill up your horn with oil. Leichash Lachacha Yishai Bizlachmi. I'm going to send you over to Yishai of Bethlehem, like you easy Bivanav Mimelech, because I've seen among his sons a king. Now, what is your horn? That's the idea. The role of anointing the king was always given to the prophet. So now it's given over to Shmuel and Avi. He's the person in charge. So this was passed down from one person to the other. Right? That's what ended up happening over here. It could be Ad Masai. It could be that Shmuel was mourning for him too excessively. That he was just crying and crying and crying over Shaul HaMelech. And Akadosh Baruch Hu was like, it's done. Okay? It's done now. You were misabel over him. You're upset that Shaul HaMelech made a mistake, but that's that.
Where was the flask of oil? I mean, it was, they used it to anoint
the Mishkan.
Right, but they used it right in the Mishkan, like, was it?
It's in the Mishkan. It's in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Yeah, it's still remade. The miracle is that it supposedly replenished itself. However, it could be that they kept adding oil to it. That's possible also.
But it could always remake it. Shaul allowed to, like, knock on the door of the Mishkan, walk in and take it, and be like, hi, God sent me, and Shaul will know about it, everybody.
That is a good call. The Shaul will know about it. It could be the Shmuel that he had people in the Mishkan. That would make the most sense. If people in Mishkan, that would not tell Shaul HaMelech what he was doing. That's most probable. Who is Yishai? What kind of a person is Yishai? Yishai, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, never sinned. Never had one sin his entire life. That's pretty awesome in and of itself. Beis HaLechem is a reference to his Torah. Lechem is the line of Torah. Proficient in Torah study. He had 600,000 Talmidim that followed him everywhere he went. Now what that means is obviously not all together, but meaning throughout his entire life he taught many, many students. I don't think he literally at 600,000, that's unbelievable.
That
but he had many
because 600,000 is like the representation of the
Torah, of everything. So he's trying to go, but that meant that he had always had people around him. Yachad Shivtei Yisrael is what his name stands for. Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, and that's the idea before. Okay, but Yom Shmuel.
Unifying of everybody.
Yeah, everybody together. Yom Shmuel, Eichi Leich, Shama Shol Hargeni. How in the world can I go? Shol's going to hear about it. He's going to kill me. Yom Shem Eglas Barkatil Biadechon. Take a cow in your hands. Yom Shol going to bring it as a korban to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what it is. So the kasha is, was Shmuel wrong for expressing this fear? He was afraid that Shaul HaMelech was going to kill him. Listen, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu tells you to do something, you get up and you do it. But the answer is yes. A shliach mitzvah is never hurt. If you're a shliach mitzvah, that's good. But only if you're not going in a place of danger. There's a halacha that we learn from here. That a shliach mitzvah b'makom nezek, in a place where there could be danger involved or a damage or something like that, you cannot go. You're not permitted to go. A shliach mitzvah may be hurt in that case.
God is sending you? I mean, if I send you to do a mitzvah.
So, but you're right. In this case, it was a malach telling it to Shmuel and Avi, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that made it a little bit different. And that makes it like a person who's doing shliach mitzvah. It's as if the messenger is telling you to do it. But he never spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. It was only Moshe. So he spoke through some malach that was the representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. It was a vision. Because he wasn't that great. Could be also he's reluctant to rely on a miracle to be able to save him, because that's what he would need. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take an egla, you know, like as in egla arufa, that if Shaul would want to harm Shmuel for trying to bring somebody else, Shaul should bring out the egla arufa to show him the punishment that happens to someone who murders, that the egla arufa is done for it, right? For such murder, yeah.
Maybe Shmuel was just doubting himself because it didn't work out with Shaul.
Maybe he was upset.
Well, what would the egla arufa prove if Shaul was saying, you're being murdered in office, I'm going to kill you?
He would just say, see what murder is like. Know that I'm still enough.
But it's not murder, he's the king.
It's true, but see, know that I'm still an Avi. And if you kill me, that's still going to be a bad thing. Now, even though you say that it's more than Malchus, could be, remember that we said before, it could be he was never a king, he was a regent. Notice that he had never killed anybody yet. He had not killed anybody.
But wasn't he anointed?
Rebelled against him. He was anointed, but he was not anointed the same way as David HaMelech. We're going to see the difference.
It could be also that
Roma Karni, Roma Pachi, if I remember correctly. Karen referred to David, and Pachi, the Pach, refers to Shaul HaMelech. It was just a little bit different. That was in Chana's song, much, much earlier in Perek Beis. Yeah.
It could be that the even though Shaul was a king, and there would be more vassals, because Hashem sent him, Hashem is higher than the king, so if you're doing what Hashem says to you to do, then the king cannot be
So you should invite Yishai to a meal. Right? I'm going to tell you what you got to do, and you'll anoint me the one that I will tell you to do. okay? You're going to do that. So, okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that he was the one choosing. Yashmol, so should be Hashem, be Yapo, be Slach, and King of Islach, and Yachardu, take an air. Everybody's afraid out of their mind. He's bringing an Eglah walking up to the city. The cross that came to greet him by Yomer, Shalom Boecha. Right? Shalom Boecha. When the Navi comes to your city, they said to him, are you coming in peace? Are you coming for a terrible and more ominous type of thing? What are you coming for exactly? So, what's your deal? Yomer Shalom. This Baruch Hashem, I came to sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Pasuk Hey. So come, prepare yourselves. Come with me to sacrifice. So he took out Yishai and his sons, and he specifically invited them to come to the Korbanos. It could be that during the Shechita, they were the only people involved. Yishai and his seven sons, as well as him, that they were the only people around. When they came in, they looked at Aliyah, opposite God, this is his anointed one. This guy is awesome. He looked at Aliyah. Aliyah was a darn good-looking kid. Do not look at his appearance. Don't look at the height of his shoulders. I have despised him. Do you see that line from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I have despised him because I don't look the way a man looks. A man looks at the eyes. Shem Yerlai above. I look inside the heart. Okay, so he said, it's unbelievable. Number one, Midi Kneged Mida. Shmuel said that I was the one who anointed Shaul HaMelech, and he took pride in that, and he had a little bit of gaiva. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to make sure that you have no idea who you're anointing among Yishai's sons. That's number one. That's the idea behind it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did not give him permission to see what he could have seen. Also, punishes him for saying, I am the seer. Remember by Shaul? Shaul HaMelech came by and said, where is the Roeh? And he said, I am the Roeh. He said, you're the Roeh? That shouldn't have been said. What's the problem? He wasn't totally mistaken. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected Eliyahu because he got angry. Now, when did Eliyahu get angry? In the next parak, he gets angry at David HaMelech when David HaMelech seems to be going to the war and trying to go fight Goliath. He's like, get out of here, little kid. You don't belong here. What was wrong with him? And he was right. He was right. First of all, he hadn't done it yet. But God has despised him.
But maybe that
he hadn't done it yet.
But maybe he had done it in the past. It just wasn't recorded. That he was a personality. Was part of.
Chazal tell us it's because of that, not because of anything in the past. How could Chazal even think that way? I mean, if they would have said because he was angry in the past and it manifested itself in the next parak, I hear that. If you say the parakim are out of order, which is also a possibility, parakim are out of order, and that parak happened first, that David Melch was brought in first, possibly, then I can also hear it. But if you say that the reason why is for something that hadn't happened yet, and that seems to be what Chazal are saying, how could that be? So I heard from Rabbi Y.Y. Rubinstein, who spoke over Shabbos. He brought this up just over Shabbos when he was the speaker at Yeshurim, and he said from Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler said that when it comes to midos and things like that, everything is punishable. When it comes to not working on meters or not whatever it was, at this point Eliyahu was not working on this, and because he wasn't working on it, not whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to punish him now for what's going to be in the future. And that's it. I mean, you have to constantly be working. Now for us, Brian, David, Gail, and me, okay, maybe not for us, we're not on that level. For a person on Eliyahu's level, he has to be constantly working on it, and that's why it ended up flaring, and that's the idea behind it. And that's that. By the way, he was the only one that was purely rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other ones were just not chosen. He was rejected. That's
so he would have been king otherwise?
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah, few is like a strong word. It's like he's disgusting.
It is unbelievable, right? Nius is unbelievable. There was a child. Eliyahu's daughter, Avichail, married Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. So even though he never became king, she became queen at some point. Yeah, that would have been a very old woman.
Would she have been? Maybe he had a child late in life. Maybe he had her late.
Let's say, even so, she would have been much older. Remember, Shlomo Melch was born at the end of David Melch's life. Rechavam was born when Shlomo Melch was maybe 15, 16. So Rechavam, she would have been much older. Anyway, it says in Pasuk Ches, Vayikra Yishai Avinadav, he called Avinadav. Vavir Elutin Shmuel, he brought him in front of Shmuel, Yomer Gambazel Lo Bachar Hashem. This person was also not chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he did was, he took the thing of oil and tried pouring it, and it wouldn't come out. The oil wouldn't come out, so he saw, this is not the right person. Vayavir Yishai Sham, Sham also, Yomer Gambazel Lo Bachar Hashem. Even he was not chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, those were three. Vayavir Yishai Shiva, he brought seven sons in front of Shmuel, Yomer Shmuel Yishai. go before Hashem Behila, because Baruch Hu didn't want these guys. That was that. The seven kids were over. Yom Shmuel Yisha, Samo and Aaron. Is that it? You got no more kids? We were Oh Shaar Katan. You know, there's still the little one. He grew up at Sony's shepherding the sheep out there. Now at the time, Seven of is not that young. He's 29. Calling him the little one is like the little baby, you know, the 29-year-old. It's really not that young. By the way, Vinay Robertson, I agree, but I don't think most people will call a 29-year-old a baby. Vinay Robertson, he's shepherding the sheep. Go send and get. We're not going anywhere until he comes over here. It seems very clear that Yishai had very big doubts whether this was actually his son. He brought his seven sons. And he says, well, there's another kid, but it's not really mine. So what happened over here?
This is from a guy who's never sinned before?
Uh-huh. So we have to figure out exactly what happened over here. Yalkut Mechiri. Ready for this? I can say this very quickly. Yalkut Mechiri quotes an otherwise unknown measure that suggests that, in fact, Yishai doubted the devil's son. So here we go. David is and that's that. The Midrash relates that even after the seven sons were born, Yishai separated from his wife, Nitzeves Basadoa. Okay? Apparently, he was bothered by doubts about his eligibility to marry a Jewish woman because he was a descendant of Rusa Moabia. The Torah specifically forbids a Moabi to marry into the Jewish nation, even 10 generations after his conversion. Ever since Boaz married Rus, an ongoing debate had raged among the sages whether this prohibition extended the descendants of a Moabi woman or if it's only for a male. Boaz said it was mutter, but then he died right after he married Rus, right? So a lot of people had lingering doubts. He's separated. 3 years after he separated from his wife, Yishai asked for a slave woman to come to him, after which he would free her. He would have deal with her.
He was
for
his kids.
For a Jew was eligible to marry another Jew, such a relationship would have been sinful. But it's proper for one who was not allowed to marry a Jew. Had Yishai's fears about his status been well founded, it would have been advisable for him to marry a slave woman. If he was right, it would be good. He would bear children from her, set her free. Their children would legally not bear the burden of the descendants of a Moabite. Right? Those kids would be avodin mishufarim. And then everything's all good. However, the servant that Yishai invited was a God-fearing woman loyal to her mistress. She approached Nitzeves and told her of Yishai's plan. She begged Nitzeves to act to maintain her rightful place to prevent Yishai and her servant from committing a sin. The servant woman suggested that when Yishai would ask her to close the door of the room, she would slip out, and under the cover of darkness, Nitzeves would come in. That's what she suggested. The plan was successfully implemented, and on that night, David was conceived. Unaware of what had taken place, Yishai and his son suspected Nitzeves of adultery. So David was shunned as an illegitimate offspring by his father and his brothers, and not counted by Yishai.
Yeah, but according to
Yishai, the youth was relegated to tending the sheep.
According to Yishai, his seven sons are Mamzerim too.
He didn't hold they were Mamzerim; they were Moab.
Moab over Kalashan. Oh, they're Moab.
Yeah, that's Moab. Yeah.
Right.
Didn't they know the prophecy of Rus?
Yes.
And that. You know,
this is out of Suffolk. At the age of whatever, Yishai decided I better check up on this. Either way,
why didn't she say something?
Only when Shmuel said something, apparently she didn't feel right to do it. Only when Shmuel got up there. What I had a question of is when he saw that the slave woman wasn't pregnant, why didn't he do it again? Isn't that a problem? Wouldn't you think he would have been together with her again to try to have another child? He never did it.
Maybe he got it.
I mean, that to me seemed the strangest. I don't understand why he wouldn't try it again.
I mean, part of it's not that he thought his son was illegitimate. He just thought he was he's like the black sheep of the family. He's the baby, he likes to hang out with the sheep.
I think that's, but this is an unbelievable medrash. And it's quoted all over the place. Either way, when Shmuel called him up, is anointed, you know, that confirmed David's parents that it really was Yishai. It is weird, though, that he didn't call him at first. He didn't call him at all. And then he said, is there no other children? He's like, well, there's another kid. That's weird.
Well, somebody had to watch the sheep after he hung out with the
I don't care. Shmuel and Abby just called you and your sons together. Go get a servant to go do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the right thing to do. And clearly he had slaves. He just took a ship up, you know, a ship up. Clearly he had slaves.
That's the court.
Somebody else could take care of it.
Opinion that he didn't do this.
Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe he didn't have any slaves. Very quickly also, by the way, this is where it all came out. Once this was chosen, everything was done. So it says, in plus good days, by Yishai, they sent him, they brought him. He was red in Yefei and beautiful eyes. That meant that he would always consult with the Urim and Tumim and Sanhedrin, the Torah, beautiful of appearance. Get up. Anoint him. This is the man. This is the kid.
He was red?
Red hair all over. He looked like Esau. It's like it's all over his body.
But
read everything. Read everything. Like, Yikash Shmuel is coming to Shemin.
Shmuel
took. Yeah? But Yikash Shmuel is coming to Shemin. But Yimshach was still the Karabachos. Shmuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him among all of his brothers. And David and Melech got a spirit of God from that day on. Shmuel got up after that and he went to Ramah. So he anointed him. He made sure everything was there. From that point on, David Melech was whatever it was, but it doesn't look like he was anointed publicly because of the fear of Shaul Melech. Seems maybe he was done in front of his brothers, but not in front of everybody else. It could have been on the other end itself. Either way, regardless. But there's a lot of questions. Was this a full Malchus at this point, or was it going to be re-anointed later on? Remember, Shaul Melech was anointed twice. One in private with Shaul, and then later on in front of all the people. So it seems this is like a get yourself ready, buddy, because it's there. Because otherwise, when Eliyahu yelled at him later on, David Melech could kill him for Morid the Malchus.
Maybe this is just like this is in front of God.
Yeah.
The president elect. He's the king elect.
So for right now, I think that's the way to do it. How do you do this, by the way? He dabbed oil between David's eyes and drew the oil with his finger around David's head in the form of a crown. Okay? Seemingly, it's supposed to be a C. That's the idea behind it.
I'm sorry.
C is the coin goblet. This one should be an X, maybe? I don't know how the crown works.
Like this.
How did you get the crown? They put it all around the hair?
That's what I remember. It's the Rashi, I think, and the Shavim Mishra's Kodesh talks about it.
Yeah, I never knew exactly what that meant. Yeah, the coin gelder was supposed to be the sea or whatever it was and stuff like that. Immediately, he was able to have Nibu and things like that, and he was able to sing songs and make Tehillim. He was able to do things like he was never able to do before, but that's what ended up happening with David HaMelech, and that's that. This is where Hallel comes into play, right? This is where Hallel... is when David HaMelech got up and he said, I thank you, God, because you have afflicted me, you have made me poor, and now I have a Yeshua. That's what David HaMelech said. Yishai got up and said, the stone, the cornerstone that was despised,
right?
Yeah, the cornerstone that was despised, you got it. The cornerstone that was despised by all the bone, yes. By all the bone, by all the fun, and by the children, by the little Shekhinah. He became the ultimate. That became right there. Then he said, Meis Hashem Oizos was the brothers. The brothers got up, Meis Hashem Oizos. He was in. We had no idea. We had no idea. And Shmuel and Avi got up and said, Zayom Asa Hashem Nagilu Nishmachabo. And then they all said, Governor Melo said, Ano Hashem Oshiano. Right? And then all the brothers said, Ano Hashem Atzlichano. Right? That's what they all said. And then Baruch HaBav Hashem Hashem Baruch Hu Beis Hashem was said by Shmuel. Yishai said, El Hashem Yerolini Tuchabav was on his back. Eliyahu Mel Deko was said by Governor Melo. And then Hotel Hashem Kido Kilo Kaf was said by everybody. And that's where we get Hallel from.
I mean, they're probably bigger stake, but like, they weren't like bummed out. Like, imagine being the oldest brother and now your baby brother has just become king.
The baby brother
like,
is with the momser.
What the heck?
Right, the momser, the little momser. Right, little mommies. So I don't know. I would assume that nobody was able to take it, but these guys were tzaddikim. I mean, they must have been tremendous tzaddikim. Baruch Hashem Tzarmim Shol. So at that point, when the Ruach went to Governor Melech, the Spirit of God left Shol. Will be Aso Ruach Rameh Hashem. And all of a sudden, he had a terrified bad spirit that was with him at all times. He's surrounded, I guess, by either Shadim or whatever it was, but there's Ruach HaKodesh, there's only room for one, right? It's not like Jell-O. So the Avdi Shol said to him, please, I mean, you realize that there's a Ruach HaKodesh, there's an evil spirit that's scaring you over here. Please, you should speak our master, because your servants are before you. You should look for a man that knows how to play the harp. When he has the spirit of God, raw, that's evil for you, then he can be out of a toglof, then he'll play that music, it'll be good for you. Right? I believe so. Not only depression. It was depression along with some type of craziness where Shaul could not keep himself sane. Literally, could not keep his head in the right way. Yeah, almost like that. It says in Yud-Zayin, Vayomer Shaul Abadav, Runa Li'ish Meitiv Lenagin, find me a good singer, Tav Yosemela, and bring him to me. Listen, I've seen a kid. The Yisha is a Beisalachmi. You dare not give me Gibor Kyle. He knows that a thing. He's a strong man. The Yishmo Kama, man of war. Levon Davar. He understands things. The Yishtar is a good looking kid. Hashem Imo and Hashem is with him. Now, each one of these things that he said, is a reference to the way that David Melech alone. And by each one that he said, Shaul Melech said, I got this. I got that. I got this. I got that. You know, I'm able to do this and that and the other, whatever it is. I'm all that, right? Except the last part. Hashem Imo. What Hashem Imo meant was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him and he did things, and he was always right halachically. Shaul HaMelech was never right halachically. He could never possibly make halacha correctly. So therefore, Shaul HaMelech immediately became jealous of David HaMelech.
Well, if he was shunned all the time, David HaMelech, and like, he only came out of that state like not too long ago, how did his name all of a sudden become popular? That he knows how to play the harp, and he knows that
that's a good call. I don't know if he was shunned by anybody but the brothers. Maybe they kept it a secret, and Tavis Basadol was sleeping around with somebody. And to be honest with you, I think it depends. If Yishai slept with Nitzavet, I mean, did Yishai divorce Nitzavet or not?
He says he left her.
So if he divorced her and she slept around, the kid's not a mamzer. If he didn't divorce her, then Echanami, the kid's a mamzer. But if he divorced her, I don't know. So maybe they thought that he had knew that he had divorced her, so she wasn't really a mamzer.
Well, let's say nobody
an illegitimate child.
Let's say nobody knew that story. He's the youngest of 8 sons.
Yeah.
And apparently he wasn't important enough to be invited to the
party.
So like, if he was somebody who was well known throughout the land, wouldn't he think to bring him also? When he said, bring your sons? Oh, David, he's very well known.
That's a good call. Now, it doesn't seem like this is very far after David HaMelech had become king, right? It seems like it happened right after David HaMelech became king. Who knows? Maybe something happened over the next couple weeks where all of a sudden he walks in the base medrash and everything he said was right. Maybe it only took 2 weeks. Shaul HaMelech's servant happened to be there at that time. 2 weeks later, they bring it up to Shaul HaMelech, and the guy's like, oh my gosh, I found this guy for you. He's the Baal Musaf. The Baal Musaf of the show over there, and he's an unbelievable person. He knows HaLacha. Maybe that's it. Who knows? He's
really
a very, very hard one. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Who doesn't have a harp on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? I'm joking, obviously. Right? But I don't know. Maybe they knew
somehow. Maybe they didn't make a takana about instruments right yet.
I don't know. And also, David HaMelech didn't even go to battle yet. That's the strength. They call him an Ish Milchama. Yet he had never gone to war.
The lion, though? Maybe they heard about that.
It's strange.
Cool story.
It's very, very. It is true, but the whole thing is very strange. So you're right. I agree with the question. The question is there. Who was the guy that got up? Who was the youth that got up and said this, by the way? Doeg Ho'edom. Doeg Ho'edom. He came from Edomite land, and it was pure evil. His intentions were evil. It was to arouse Shaul's jealousy. That's the only reason why he did it, and that's that. Okay, so that's the idea behind it. Yishlach Shaul Malachim al Yishai. He sent messengers to Yishai. V'yomer Shaul Ha'elai David Benchas. Send me David your son, Asher Batzon, that's with the sheep. V'yikai Yishai Chamor Lachim Enod Yain. He sent a flask of bread. I don't know, something. A donkey with bread, and a flask of wine. Ugedi Yizim, and a couple goats. Ugedi Yizim, I've got a one goat. V'yishlach Yad David Ben Shaul, and he sent with David Melech, his son, to Shaul. Now, this is a large amount. The donkey load is 185 pounds. Maybe Beis Lechem was well known for the bread. That's why it was called Beis Lechem. Maybe that's why he sent that bread. Maybe it was very special bread. I have absolutely no idea. But it's very, very interesting that he sent that specifically over here. Right? Now, why did he send this over? He was scared out of his mind. David HaMelech had just been anointed as king. And immediately Shaul HaMelech sends for him to be his, for him to come to him. How did Shaul HaMelech hear about it? So he tried to bribe the king a little bit. Let's see. It's good. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Shaul loved him very much. And he started becoming his weapon bearer. Okay, so he said, he sent over to Yishai, let David stay with me. He's found favor in my eyes. And that's the law of the king. The king wants somebody, he can take him, no matter what. When he had that evil spirit by Shaul, the king of the Nige, he took the harp in his hand and he started to play. What's a liar? L-Y-R-E. Does anyone know what a liar is? Because I keep saying harp, but apparently Kinor is a liar. It sounds like a little guitar. If I'm correct about that, it sounds like a little guitar, like a little banjo, like a ukulele. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, it is a harp. Harpish.
You see this like in Israel, like a symbol of
how many strings?
Can you make it bigger? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is it the same one?
Nope.
Go right.
All right, it's fine. All right. Either way, maybe it was well than that, so he did it. It says, "Beniga biyada v'robach l'shol." So will be relieved.
Count it. How many is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
So I was wondering if it was 8, Lamentech or Shmini. It's more like David.
This is more for the guitar. I guess there's different types.
Yeah, there must be different types. All right, either way, Rav Elishol v'tovlo, v'sora me'alav ruach ha'roh, and they're turned away from him, that evil spirit. Okay, Parak Yud Zan, Yasu Plishon Zvachmeim le'mochama, the Plishon gathered themselves together for war, v'yasu Soho, and they came to Soho, Asher Lidu Rebbe Yudav Yachrov in Soho v'Nazeka v'Epes Damim, they camped in between Soho and Azeka by Epes Damim. Okay, so that's the idea. Epes Damim was known as a bloody strip. That's why it's called Epes Damim. Possibly, it's because of what's going to happen in the final battle over here, what's going to happen over here. Regardless, they knew about Shaul. They realized that Shaul had lost the spirit of God, and they knew that Shaul was down. So the Plishim took advantage of it. They must have had somebody in the kingdom, some spy that was around somewhere. But they knew exactly. And Shaul, who had so recently they'd gone up against the Plishim and destroyed them completely, they felt powerless. They felt that they couldn't do anything, and Shaul Melech was scared out of his mind. The Shaul v'Ish Shaul Nesfu, Shaul and the men of Bnei Yisrael, they gathered by Akhna Be'emek Ela, they gathered by the Ela Valley, by Yarkum Mokom and the Kras Plishim, and they fought a battle, right, against the Plishim themselves. The Plishim Omdim Al-Harmi's dead, the Yisrael Omdim Al-Harmi's dead, the Plishim stood on one side of the mountain, Bnei Yisrael stood on the other side of the mountain, by Gai Be'nehim. There was a valley in between them, so that was right by the Ela. Okay, Daniel, Eddie, come on, let's go. Vayete Isha Be'nin, Mimachna Plishim, Be'naim, I'm sorry. There was a man of Be'naim that came out from the camp of the Plishim, Goliath Shemo, his name was Goliath, Migas, from Gath. Gavo Shesh Amos Bozaris. His height was 6 Amos and a little bit more than that. Also, the Me'amloe says that means he was over 11 and a half feet tall. I always understood that an Amos is a foot and a half. Right? And a Zeris was a small amount, right? I didn't think it was the entire amount. So I thought that 9 feet was 6 Amos. And the Zeris maybe added on like another half a foot or, you know, like maybe a foot. So I thought maybe 10 feet. Maybe 10 feet tall altogether. Either way, this man is huge. I will tell you, though, this is a more realistic version of what a giant could be. In theory, a man can be that tall, Robert Wadlow, within our physics of what we have today. Robert Wadlow was 8 foot 11 and whatever, right? So this can happen, right, without any questions. He's always a hard thing to understand. How tall was he? And Sikon, and something like that. It's not saying it can't be. Of course, anything could be. It's just hard for us to understand.
You can understand Og as being also around the size of Goliath. Because if you know Arso, Eris Barzel, 9 Amos. His bed was 9 Amos or whatever it was. So,
that was his crib.
You could say, well, Arso could also mean regular bed. Rashi says Amas Og, not Amas Ish.
It sounds even stranger.
Right, I know, but I think the Pashup Shad would be, I guess, not your definition of Pashup Shad.
No, but just think about it. If it's Amas Og and it was 9 Amos long, then
no.
Bed,
Rashi
nine,
says
his arm size.
Rashi says Amas Og. The Pasuk says Amas Ish. So the way I look at Pasuk Shad, it's a regular arm of a person.
Amas Og is very hard to understand anyway.
Right. Well, no, I'm agreeing with you.
Think about it, right? How big is your bed in comparison to your arm?
No, I agree. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying if it was 9 Amos of a regular person.
I don't think you understand what I mean. If an arm length is 1.5 feet and I'm 6 feet tall, that means my arm length is a quarter of my body. Right? A quarter of my body. My bed is basically 7 feet long. It's about the size, maybe 6.5 feet long, something like that, right? That's the normal size bed, right?
Right.
His bed was 9 Amos long, which meant that he was freakishly large. He was a little bit Tyrannosaurus Rex.
No, I'm not. You don't understand what I'm saying.
I do.
No, it's a
thing.
That's Rashi is Amos old. The puzzle says Amos Ish.
Amos Ish.
Amos Ish. It means his bed was that long. Shaquille O'Neal has a huge bed. It was on curves, I think. It's massive. But
what does it mean, Halohi Barabbas Bnei Amon?
His bed was on display over there.
On display?
Yeah, I remember.
When?
What?
When?
At the time that they were...
Why wasn't he sleeping in it?
His bed.
The pshat is that Halohi Barabbas Bnei Amon, because that was his crib, and they treated Og as a god, and they kept it inside the Barabbas Bnei Amon. It's like a museum almost. That's why Rashi...
But that doesn't make sense rationally, so I don't really believe
rationally.
That.
Why wouldn't that be?
Because a kid person can't be that big.
Of course it could be that big.
It can't.
Yes, it can.
You yourself said that a person's heart cannot keep a person alive.
It's true in our size, but a rhinoceros lives, a giraffe lives.
Yeah, but they're not that big.
An elephant lives.
They're not that big.
Giraffes are pretty big.
Yeah, but they're not like, the midrash says he was bigger than a mountain.
Granted, fine. Can you understand, can Og be 19 feet tall?
Uh,
theory. You have to be a priest.
I don't buy it.
You can't? Can a Tyrannosaurus Rex be about 25 feet tall?
Yeah, but the Tyrannosaurus heart is like
little arms.
His heart must be huge.
Little arms. Yes, a priest. The Tyrannosaurus Rex's heart
is huge.
I can imagine. I can't wait until Mashiach comes and he comes down and he's like, remember that Tyrannosaurus Rex bone? That was oak.
Sue.
Like, yes, I know it. That's all I'm going to say. Yes, Sue was oak.
You know what? But like... But it won't look ridiculous saying, like, okay, because it's not comprehensible in our minds. But if Mashiach comes and says, well, yeah, Ogre's just like a tall guy, then it will be like...
Yeah, watch him say, like, it doesn't matter. All right, anyway, here we go. He was all together. His height was over 11 and a half feet altogether. Now, he had no father. Why did he have no father? Because the night that Orpah left Rus, one opinion says that she slept with 100 men and a dog, which is nice. I don't think the dog had much to do with it, but 100 men and a dog. And that's what it means, Isha Benayim. He was from all of them, between those men. He was a man from all of them. Others say this came straight from Samson. Shimshon slept with Orpah when he was Rochev. Remember the Medrash that says that everybody brought their wives to Shimshon for him to impregnate them? So one of the women that had come to Shimshon was Orpah. And the Chassam Sofer says that Orpah became impregnated with Goliath from Shimshon. And that's what ended up happening over there. Crazy. Also, Isha Benayim could be that he was middle or average, that the Plishim at that time were exceedingly powerful and very, very big, although that seems very, very not understandable. He was also Galui. He was defiant and arrogant, and that's the reason why it says Galui. He was an arrogant guy. The Chovin HaChodesh Al Rosho, he had a massive hat of copper on his head. Shirion Katskasim Hulabosh, he was wearing scaled armor. Mishkal Asirion Chamish Talaf Mishkal Nechoshes, his armor was altogether 5,000 shekel of copper. It says in the bottom over here, it was 156 pounds of armor that he was wearing on his body. His helmet weighed 19 pounds. Just the helmet. That's unbelievable.
You go to the museum and you see the
I would assume so.
You would have the armor like the knights in like the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
That stuff is really heavy.
Yeah, 100%. Mitzchak Nechosh Del Raglot, he had a lot of copper that was on his feet. The Kidur Nechosh Del Ksefot, and he had a javelin shaped piece of copper that went in between his shoulders. The Chais Chaniso, the Eitz Chaniso, the wood of his spear. Kiminor Orgim was like a weaver's beam. The Lahevis Chaniso Sheish Meil Shkolim was 600 shekel barzel. And he had a shield bearer walking in front of him. Oh, it's even crazy over here. Some say Chais. Everybody sees that word? Meaning it doesn't say Eitz, it says Chais, really? Right? Half. That half of Goliath's might is mentioned here, but really he could carry twice this much. Twice this amount of power. That's what he was able to do. Robert Wadlow? No. I always had an idea behind Goliath. That Goliath was not coordinated at all. And the reason why he wore all the stuff is because he literally could not move.
But it would make
and then if somebody
really
was scary, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. It made him scary as anything, and he kept challenging people to come out to him, but he could not do a thing. And if he would have gone out, if anybody would have fought him, they probably would have won. But he was so scary that people went up to him, like Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant, granted he was big, but even Hulk Hogan was able to take him down, you know what I'm saying? Like half his size. Who was the shield man? Who was the shield man over here, guys?
Famous Plishti from later on.
No, Uriah Chiti.
What? He converted after.
Yucker mentioned that Uriah Chiti was the shield man. We'll come up to it later on. By Yamod, by Yikol Marcos Yisrael. So he stood and called out to the war, the armies of the Jews. Why are you going out to war? Why are we going out to war? Alonokia Plishti. I am the Plishti side that killed Kofni and Pinnacles and took away the Aron Kodesh. You guys are slaves of Shoal. Choose for yourselves a man and come out to me. He really wanted to get Shoal. He said, come on, Shoal. Let's go, Shoal. And he knew, along with all the policemen, that Shoal was scared out of his mind of everything. He said, come on, Shoal. Let's go fight. Shoal's scared. He can't do anything. And he said, I'm the one who wants to fight. Some say he went up against the Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, even God couldn't save you from me. If you really welcome me to, if he wants to wage war with me, be kindly let him hit me. He said, I'm not welcome. And then we'll all be your slaves. We don't have to fight a war. We'll be your slaves if I lose. I mean, he'll call low, but if I'm able to beat him, be peace when I hit him down, be some love on him, and we'll be for you. You'll be for us above him. And then you'll serve us. You have nothing to lose. You're just exchanging. get two masters instead of Shaul, you'll get me. What's the big deal? That I've insulted the armies of Bnei Yisrael on this day. Give me a man, we're going to fight together. Shaul and all the people of Bnei Yisrael heard the words of the Plishti, and because he felt terror, he felt helpless, he was scared out of his mind. Plus, good days. David was the son of the man from Ephras. From Beth Lechem in Yehuda. I don't know what it means by Ephrati, by the way. Ephrati does not make any sense to me. By the way, Ushmo Yishai, the low Shmona Bunim, he had eight sons.
Yehuda Zavi says Beth Lechem Yeshua Beret Ephrat.
Maybe, I don't know. Okay, the low Shmona Bunim, and he had eight sons. So Yishbi Meshol Zakim Baba Nashim. The man during the days of Shaul was very, very old. Yishai, Baba Nashim means, aside from the fact that he was very old among men, he was also with men all the time. He always had Talmidim surrounding him. Talmidim were with him at all times, but he was also a leader in war as well as a leader in Torah study. He had three sons that were in the army. David HaMelech was not there. Three of the sons of Yishai, the oldest ones, they went up to Shaul for war. The three sons that we mentioned above, same three sons over here. David was the youngest one. The three Gedolim went after Shaul. It's possible that parts of this Navi were written over, as the Miyamloi said earlier, that most of it was written by Shmuel HaNavi, but parts of it were rewritten by God HaHoseh and Nathan HaNavi. And it could be that even though this is just repetition, right, because we already said all this, yeah, it sounds like it, they may have put in this entire parak, or they might have added on something in the last parak. We don't know. We absolutely do not know. But it was not written by the same author, so it's okay if it's a little bit off when it comes to stuff like this. The David Olav HaShav Me'al Shol, Liros HaSon Avi B'Ezachem. David was going back and forth from Shol, tending his father's sheep, and going back and forth from one place to the other. Okay, so we go out of there. There is a kasha that some say that this is before David HaMelech actually played for Shaul. And what it means, the whole of Meshav Me'al Shaul, he was going to see the war and coming back. Going to see the war coming back, but he was not yet the menage for Shaul HaMelech. This happened, this whole story happened before the appointment, before he had been anointed. That's possible.
Otherwise, he would have been at the battle. He was especially
with Shaul HaMelech. But Yigash HaPlishti Hashkem, that's a good raya, actually. But Yigash HaPlishti Hashkem Baharid, he's got the Barboim Yon. The Plishti, Goliath, stood there early morning and evening while they were saying Shema Yisrael, and he stood there for 40 days, boy, up against the 40 days of Har Sinai. Take for your brothers a little bit, an epha of this roasted kernel, these 10 things of bread, and hurry to the camp to your brothers. The reason why is because after 40 days of being out at war, they had no supplies left. They had run out of supplies. So the army guys were on their own to find their own food. So he said, Yishai said, go bring this food for them because otherwise they're going to starve. Take these 10 cheeses, bring it to the officer of thousands, ask your brothers how they're doing, and take anything that they might need taken back from them, any bills or anything that they might need, right? If they had paid for something out there, you pay for it and get it back to me. So that's what he told them and everything like that. It's possible that he also brought them gets of divorce, just in case they never came back for more, to give to their wives if they weren't going to come back or if anything wasn't going to happen.
They should have signed them already.
What? Beforehand. By David HaMelech they did. I don't know if they did by the times of Shaul. I don't know if they said it by the times of Shaul. Shaul, the aim of a whole Ish Yisrael. Shaul, they, and all the Yisrael, the Imaka Ela, they were in the valley of Ela, fighting with the police. Ashkan Dovah Boker, he got up in the morning, he took his own El Shomer. He gave the sheep over to a guard. And he picked up and he went, like his Yishai, like Yishai told him to do. He came to the area of where the army was. The troops were going out the battlefront, they were blowing their horns in battle as if they were going to start to fight. Okay, so David's brothers were already gone. They're already into the battle, they're already going to start. But Taruk Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael started to fight the war. The Plishtim had their army opposite the army of the Jews. David quickly gave his supplies over to the Shomer HaKelim, the guy who's watching the supplies, and he ran to the war. And he went and asked his brothers how they were doing. Now, that was a weird thing to do. They're about to start a war. David HaMelech has no weapons whatsoever, and yet he goes out to the battlefront to go see how his brothers are doing. But I guess he thought, I'm doing what my father wanted me to do, so go. So strange, because you think that's a makom sakana. He was speaking with them. At that point, the man came up. And he spoke, right? from these words, and David heard, he was listening to the entire thing all the way over there, he heard every single word that was being said. The whole Ish Yisrael, every man of Yisrael, Barosam was the Ish, by Nusim upon him, they ran away from him, and they were very, very afraid. So the men of Yisrael said, have you seen this guy who's coming up? Right? He's coming to degrade the Yisrael. Anybody who beats him up, he will be made rich from the king with a great rich. Will be given a daughter that's based off of the country of Yisrael. And the house of his father will be made free from Bnei Yisrael. Nothing will happen. So three rewards. Rich, daughter, no army conscription. Okay, right there.
Is it army or is it taxes?
Could be more than that.
How do they know that he's going to get a daughter?
Is that Biti? What do you mean? That's Biti Yitelo. Pasuk says it. In fact, Pasuk Chavet.
No, but this is the people speaking for show.
Oh, Shaul HaMelech said it out loud. No, Shaul HaMelech said it out loud. And he announced it to everybody so that they should know. Some asked, Tosas asked in kindness about Gimel. Shaul just said something that's really crazy. Shaul asked for something. Oh, it's in the Gemara, I'm sorry, not for Tosas. Shaul asked for something. He said, whoever defeats Goliath will get my daughter in his hand. And the problem is, what if the guy is not Roy? What if the guy isn't Roy to marry me? Right? What if that happened? Merab, I think. Merab was this one. What if the guy wasn't Roy to marry Merab? Then what? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him properly, and he ended up getting David HaMelech. But Shaul HaMelech asked improperly for what it was. David said to the men, they were standing with him lame more, what? What's going to happen to the man that kills this Plishti? The Yisr Kherpa Mael Yisrael removes the Kherpa from an Yisrael. Who is this silly Plishti, this uncircumcised Plishti, right, who is making fun of all the battalions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He was amazed. I'm going to get rewarded for this? For doing what anybody should do? Why aren't we fighting this goat? Goliath is going up against God. He's making fun of and screaming at God and cursing out God. How in the world could I not do this? How is that possible? He couldn't understand it. He could not understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was offering so many rewards and things like that. No idea. Check my shelves. The bookshelves. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. By Yomer Loa, the people said, Kadavar Azel Lehmar, they were saying something similar saying, Koyes Elish, Yashay HaKenin. No, that's what's going to happen. Right? If you do it, then you're going to be able to do. And that's perfectly fine, and that's going to be. Okay, that's that. We're on. Let's go to the next one. Chav Ches, Vayishma Eliyah Balkiva Gadol B'davro Anashim. Now, Eliyah, his older brother, heard him talking to the men. Vayikharaf Eliyah B'davro. Eliyah got very angry at David. This is what we were referring to before, that he got angry. Why did you come down? Who did he give the sheep to take care of in the desert? I know the way you think. That's Roll above that climb, your evil heart. You know why he came down? He came down in order to see the war happen. He came down in order to see the battle. Unbelievable. Number one, Eliab did not see the food that David HaMelech had brought and left by the supply manager, because he had left it by the supply manager. So he had no idea why David HaMelech was there. He thought he was just there to go see whatever it was. You had a duty to take care of the flock. Who's watching over the flock right now? That's number one. Number two, David HaMelech did not come out whatsoever. He did not say anything to say that it was a mission from his father. But Eliab should have realized it was probably from the father. Also, he gazed at him with contempt. He looked at him contemptuously and said, come on, who are you, little brother? Who do you think you are to be out here and stuff like that? And that's that. He also thought that Dovinov was making fun of the soldiers. How could the soldiers not get up? And Eliab said, we can't get up. This guy is not ready for us to get up. That's the idea behind it. Hold on. What did I do wrong? Have I not just spoken? I haven't done anything else. By the way, hello, Dovrhu is something like, it's a classic line that's used in Chazal. Hello, Dovrhu. Isn't that something that we should see? Hello, Dovrhu. That's like that. He was humble. So he turned away from his brother and went to another side. Remember, Kadavar is that. He said, is it the same thing? They said the exact same thing as they said before. Yes, again. Now, why was he doing this? Dovrhu was publicizing himself. He wanted Shaul HaMelech to hear it. He wasn't going to go up to Shaul HaMelech and ask directly. He wanted somebody to hear that David HaMelech was asking people over and over and over again, and eventually that's exactly what happened. It called attention to Shaul. Eventually the words that David HaMelech was speaking were heard by Shaul. Shaul heard it and he's like, who is that kid? Bring him over here, the kid that's talking about this. Don't let the heart of a man fall. I'll go. When he'll come to appreciate that, I will fight this police chief. Now, if he's already the guy who's serving the king and the harp player, you don't think Shaul HaMelech knows who David HaMelech is? It seems very strange. It seems very, very strange.
Why should he ask permission anyways?
To go fight?
Yeah. It was an open invitation. We just learned about three psukim ago.
I don't know if they're allowed to just randomly go out and war when the general doesn't tell you to.
Yeah, but the guys, there was a...
It was an open invitation. Yeah, but come up to me and tell me so I can send you out. I don't think you were just allowed to go up there and do it. Either way, Vayomer Shaul lo David, listen, kid, you can't go up against this guy. We welcome those to wage war with him. See, Naruto, you're clearly a young kid. This kid, this guy, has learned war from his youth. So there's no way. You have no matter, you are inexperienced in warfare. You're not part of our battalion. There's no way you can go out there. So it says in Lamed Dalet, Vayomer David Shaul, Rol Hayat Zalavi Batzon, listen, I was a shepherd for my father with the sheep. So a lion would come, and a bear would come, and a sheep would escape from the flock, or it would take off one of the sheep in the flock. I went after it, right? The kisiv, and I would kill it. The taltimi beef, and I would take the sheep out from its mouth. The yakum, a lion, would come up against me. I would grab onto its beard, the kisiv, and I would smack it, and then I would kill it. Also another lion, and also another bear. He caught that, but your servant is killed. This plishi, this arul, is just like a bear. He served Marcos Elohim kind because he's making fun of God. So that's that. Some say that he fought six wild animals at once. And that's why I kept saying, Yamado, Yamari. He's saying, I was able to fight everything all at once. I have no problem whatsoever.
This episode had to have happened before Shaul and Priest.
I would assume so. It sounds like it. It just sounds like everything is beforehand.
Did it say?
It also explains why they said that there was a man in Ish Mohammed. Yeah. Clearly, yeah.
Does it say anywhere that Shaul was king for 3 years? Or is that like
inferred? Yeah. We just said in the beginning of the Parash Yud-Dalet or whatever it is, he was a king. Shana Shnayim, whatever it is.
Shana Shani B'malchut, I mean.
Then Shana Shol B'malchut, Shtei Shana B'malchut Yisrael. For 2 years he was king of Bnei Yisrael. The beginning of the Parashat Yud-Gimel.
If David Mel is 29 right now, I mean, you would think they would, older brothers might vote, but I'm saying that, but to dismiss him as like a little kid, I mean, kids are in the army when they're 20.
It's unbelievably strange. Unbelievably strange. Let's say it happened 10 years earlier and Shol Melech was fighting for Shmuel. Shol Melech could have been a general before Shmuel and Avi had been deposed.
So meaning he wasn't king, so Shaul didn't become king.
Who says he was king?
They called him out.
I do not believe so. What did the Melech, did it say that the Melech said? Yeah. No, it does not say it anywhere. Not anywhere. It does not say that he was the king. Could be it was before him, but that's a big fetish. We'd have to find a raya for that. Anyway, by Yom David, Hashem is letting me out of Arim Yadav. God who saved me from the lion and the bear. We have to let me out of Plishi as they will save me from the Plishi. Right? By Yomer Shol of David Leich, Hashem Yemo. Go and Hashem should be with you. Now, obviously, he was very skeptical of the story. Right? He's like, yeah, you killed bears and lions, dude. Fine. Whatever you say. Right? But he said, listen, it doesn't make a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me, because I have the ability to dive into a Kurdish bar and things like that. That's the idea behind it. Now, the Yahweh Shaul was David Madov. David HaMelech was given the clothing of Shaul, meaning the armor. Menasim Kovin of Hotel Rose, he put the copper hat on his head, the Yahweh Shaul Zeryon, and he gave him a big armor, and it fits miraculously. Remember, Shaul HaMelech was a head taller than every other person, but somehow everything fit David HaMelech absolutely perfectly, which made no sense whatsoever. Showed him that there was something there. Immediately, Shaul had an inkling that this was the future king, and he got scared and jealous. The Yaakov David is carved by Alamado. David HaMelech put his sword over all of his clothing by Yola Lechas, and he wanted to go. Rayo refused to go. Kiloni saw. He didn't know how to walk in all this armor that Shaul HaMelech had just given him. I can't go in this. Kiloni sees. I've never done this before. So David HaMelech took it off. Number one, he saw that Shaul HaMelech was jealous. So he immediately said, I can't do this. I can't wear this stuff. So he gave it over. Number two, he didn't want to be Mamayit to an ace. He wanted the nace. He knew that the only way he was going to beat this guy was through an ace. He wanted to be a pure nace, and he preferred it to be clear that the victory was achieved through Hashem and not through his own means. He took a staff in his hands. He took 5 smooth stones from the wadi, and he put it inside his shepherd's bag. Yalkut. And then he had his pouch, the kalobia, doing his sling in his hand, but you guys saw a police chief. Then he went through, right, to the police chief. He did not show his slingshot. His slingshot he kept on the side. It was the stick that he kept in his hand, as if he's going to beat Goliath with a stick. He didn't want Goliath to protect himself from the slingshot. He wanted to be sudden without realizing whatsoever. Why did he take five? One to avenge for Hophni and Pinchas, three for the others. That's what he brought it for. The police came close to David. And there was a man carrying the shield in front of him. He was walking slowly and deliberately to go meet David. The police looked down and saw David, and he made fun of him. He squawked him. Kiryanar, he's a little kid, Badmoni, and a red-haired kid, and Yefemari, even though he was very handsome. By the way, it could be that Goliath couldn't even see him. He was so small, and Goliath was so tall, he had no idea. Like, he's like, where is the kid? Where is the kid? And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, that? That's the kid? Vayomar HaPlishel David, HaKolonokin, do you think I'm a dog? He has a boy like Bamakul, you're coming against me with sticks, I Kalel HaPlishel David Elohov. And he cursed David to his God. Vayomar HaPlishel David, Lefayilai, come to me. Venas V'sokalov HaShemayim, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the heavens, and Venas HaSodan to the animals of the field. Some say that the police could not go any further, and that's why he said, come to me. Why? The ground gripped him in place, and therefore he had nothing to do except say, David, you come to me. I would assume that as well, right? David Melch interpreted this as a sign that Goliath was already confused when easily given to a master of mind.
Remember, Yonatan said that if they say, come to me, we won.
Very, very good. And the behemoth of Sodeh is also used over here. Wait, so the birds of the birds of the sky and the chayos of Sodeh. Not the behemoth. The sheep and the goats and the cows are not going to eat your bones. Once he heard the word behemoth, he realized that Goliath himself was scared. Goliath was a little bit messed up over here. Yomar David Melch Ishi. You're coming with me with a sword and with a spear of a kidon and a javelin. I'm coming in the name of God. This is not like what happened with Hophni and Pinchas. I am coming purely with a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. And this day God has put you into my hands, and he will hit you. I will remove your head from on you. And I will make a corpse in the Machna Felishim. And then everybody will know that a God is among the Jews. There will be a Kiddush Hashem, and that's that. So Ra sprouted out in Goliath's forehead as soon as David Melch had said these words, and David Melch was gazing at him and caused a tremendous force against Goliath, which he got scared and did not know what to do. He's very confused. All of this call will know that it's not through a sword and a spear that God will save, because God owns war and he will deliver you into our hands. So the police chief arose. He drew closer toward David. David ran through the battle line to go greet the police chief. He was so furious, Goliath, he could do nothing but run towards David Melech. He saw David, he took his hand quickly, and he took out the quick stone, and he shot it. He hit him in the forehead, and it grabbed right into the forehead, and he fell straight down to his face to the ground. Now, how did it penetrate the armor? Some say there was a small area of his forehead exposed. But that is idiotic, to have armor that will expose even a little bit of your forehead. That's number one. Number two, some say that when David HaMelech said that his body will be given over to the birds of the heavens, Goliath looked up, and at that moment there was a little bit of space, and he shot him right at that moment. Others say that miraculously the stone penetrated the metal. Chazal say that at that point David HaMelech made a deal with the metal, and he said to the metal, if you open up for me, then I swear to you that from now on Bris Milah will be done with metal knives instead of stone knives. Until this time, Matikach Tziporet Tzor, they use stone knives to do Bris Milah. From now on, it'll be able to be used with metal knives, and that's what happened based on what happened. How did he fall on his face? He should have fell backward. You hit a guy like that, he should fall backward.
But he was not forward, though.
Even so, you hit him back. The force should pull you backward. The answer is, number one, God decreed that the mouth that said blasphemy should lick the earth. That's number one. Number two, to make it easier for David Melch to be able to cut off his head. Number three, he had an image of Dagon on his chest. Hashem didn't want that to ever be seen ever again. By the way, he wasn't dead. David Melch grabbed the priest with the sling with the stone, overcame him because of that. Now, he killed him, right? Although David Melch did not have the sword yet in his hand. We'll stop with this right now.
We'll stop next.